जय राधा मदावा कुंज बिहारी जय राधमदवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभगिरी बढ़धारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभगिरी बढ़धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य आशुतोतरशत शिष्यमात हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की
जय
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य आशुतोतर शत शिष्यमात हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की गरंतराश्मं भागवतं की निताय गौर प्रेमन ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू शिशि गुरु एंड शिवरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 the Summon Bonon Chapter 12 The Killing of the Demon Aghasura Text 25 to 28 Reading 25. Itan mito tatyan atagyak vashitam srutva bichintyetyamisra mrisayate raksho vitva kilabhuta hitastita swanan nirodhun bhagavan manodhade Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is situated as Antarjami, the Super Soul, is in the core of everyone's heart. Heard the voice talking among themselves about the artificial python. Unknown to them, it was actually Aghasura, a demon who have appeared as a python. Krishna, knowing this, wanted to forbid his associate to enter the demon's mouth. Text 26. Tavat pravistas tvasuro darantaram parannagirna sishava savatsa pratishakme pratishamane nabakari beshanam hasta swakantans maranena rakshasha. Translation: in the meantime, while Krishna was considering how to stop them, all the cowherd boys entered the mouth of the demon. The demon, however, did not swallow them, for he was thinking of his own relative who has been killed by Krishna and was just waiting for Krishna to enter his mouth. Text 27. Tanviksha Krishna sakala bhaja prado yanantyana tan swakarat abachutam dinanscha mrityor jagatharaknigasham grinardito dishtakritena vishmita. Translation: Krishna saw that all the cowherd boys did not know anyone but him as their lord. How had now gone out of his hand and were helpless, having entered like the straws into the fire of the abdomen of Agasura, who was death personified. It was intolerable for Krishna to be separated from his friends, the cowherd boys. Therefore, as if seeing that this has been arranged by his eternal potency, Krishna was momentarily struck with wonder and unsure of what to do. And text 28. Kritiam king atrasya kalasya jivanam. Navam amishan chasatam bihinshanam. Dvayam katat syat iti sambichintya. Gyatva vishat tundam asesha dritgari. Kritiam kin atrasya kalasya jivanam. Nava amisam chasatam bihimsanam. Dvayam katam syat iti sambichintya. Gyatva vishat tundam asesha dritghari. Kritiam kinatrasya kalasya jivanam. Navat amishan chasatam bihinshanam. Dvayam katam syat iti sambichintya. Gyatva vishat tundam asesha dritghari. Kritiam kinatrasya kalasya jivanam. Navam amishan chasatam bihimsanam. Dvayam katam sat isitam bichintya. Dvayam vita tundana shesha dritgari. Kritiam kinatrasya kalasya jivanam. Nava amishan chasatam bihinshanam. Dvayam katam syat iti sambichintya. Bichintya. Yatva vishatundam ashesha dridghari krityam king. What to do? Atra, in this situation, asya kalasya, of this envious demon, jivanam, the existence of life, na, there should not be, va, either, amishancha, of those who are innocent, satam, of the devotees, bihimshanam, the dead, dvayam, both actions, killing the demons and saving the boys, katam, how, syat, can be possible, iti sambichintya, very perfectly thinking about the subject matter, gyatva, and deciding what to do, avisat, enter it, tundam, with the mouth, within the mouth of the demon, ase sadrik harihi. Krishna, who has unlimited potencies, could understand past, future, and present. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Now, what was to be done? How could both the killing of these demons and the saving of the devotees be performed simultaneously? Krishna, being unlimitedly potent, decided to wait for an intelligent means by which he could simultaneously save the boys and kill the demon. Then he entered the mouth of Agasura. Purport. Krishna is known as Anantavidya Sarvagya because everything is known to him. Because he knows everything perfectly well, it was not difficult for him to find a means by which he could save the boys and at the same time kill the demon. Thus, he also decided to enter the mouth, the demon's mouth. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyanan Gyana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishupadaya Krishna Prasadatare Srimate Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin iti namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So there is an apparent contradiction that we find in this part of the pastimes of the killing of the demon Agasura, that Krishna is bewildered. Krishna, well, bewildered may not be the exact term to describe, but he had to figure it out. There was a moment of not understanding, and then he had to figure it out. One thing, he was sort of taken aback or surprised by the behavior of the cowherd boys, that they were so carelessly entering into the mouth of this demon. And he was hearing everything. He was hearing the conversation of the cowherd boys. So the cowherd boys were analyzing the situation and come to the conclusion, actually it's a demon, have to be a demon. But Krishna will kill him, so anyway, let's have fun. So in one sense, they were, like yesterday I was saying, they were acting a little recklessly, but because they have such a confidence on Krishna's protection that they were fearless. So, but the behavior itself sort of surprised Krishna. And in fact, because he knew, this was a demon. This is a Gasura, which is the younger brother of both Putana and Bakasura. So, such a family, big time demons. So Krishna knew this is a demon, so he wanted to tell the boys, stop, don't do that, you know, it's dangerous, but this demon is there to kill us. So, but as he's thinking, a bit confused by the sort of actions of the cowherd boys, because it's confusing, because when you see such a gigantic, dangerous, imagine you're seeing a dangerous creature, even if you see a little snake, one is like, you know, you don't know if it's a poisonous snake or something like that, or a spider or some kind of creature that you don't know that, you know, it could be dangerous, then immediately you step back. You don't go and march into some dangerous situation. So the fact that they were doing that was very, very, very surprising. In general, again, you know, one will have cautious, at least cautious, and mostly fear when one confronts a situation like this. So Krishna had to stop and start to think what to do. How I have to kill this demon at the same time save the boys. So how can this be accomplished? So Prabhupada described Krishna as avigya, sarvagya. Sarvagya means that everything to be known he knows. Sarvagya. He's all-knowing. So the question, if he's all-knowing, and so he knows everything that is going to happen, he knows everything that is there, and he has complete control of everything, the initial statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam is jammadyasi jatam vajat itarastas chatarsu avigyaswara. So this avigya, also all-knowing, but swara means independent and in full control. So if Krishna is in full control of everything, he knows everything that is going to happen, then one can ask, how he can perform lila and actually have some fun. So if you have to do something and you know everything that is going to happen, if you say, if someone who makes a thriller drama on a movie or something like that, the creator knows exactly what's going to happen, what's the beginning, what's the whole drama, what's the whole end. So obviously the experience of the creator is not going to be the same experience of the person who has, you know, watching without knowing what's going to happen. The person who is not knowing what's going to happen is going to go to all these different types of emotions and things like that. So if Krishna is the all-knowing, he knows everything, and he is in full control, so where is the fun for him? Where is the lila? Lila means pastime. Where is the pastime? What is the meaning of lila when you are the supreme controller? Then there should be no lila, right? We can make that question. It's a very valid question. So they have to be some sort of suspense, some sort of unknown, to be able to experience something, to experience an activity, to experience a lila, a pastime. So, and then we see that in this situation, we see that actually Krishna is experiencing a moment in which he doesn't know what's going on, and he has to figure it out. So that tells me, okay, so then how can he be all-knowing and all controlling and all like that if you have that situation? And so the acharyas tell us that it's simply part of Krishna's inconceivable greatness that he can do all those things. Another definition of Krishna, of the truth about Krishna, is that all contradictions become solved in the absolute truth. All contradictions become resolved or solved in the absolute truth. So the absolute truth can be simultaneously one and different, can be simultaneously all-knowing and not knowing. Can be all these things are possible in the absolute truth, simultaneously. And of course, that's why it's described as is conceivable. So the definition of the absolute truth is achintya veda veda tattva. Achintya veda aveda tattva. So achintya means inconceivable, inspires of inconceivable potencies. So it's very enigmatic and inconceivable for us to understand how is that possible. And it is explained that it's part of Krishna's potencies. Krishna just simply have to desire something, and automatically all his potencies manifest whatever he desires. They work almost they're in full control, but they're complete. It's a manifestation on expansion of Krishna that in itself is fully complete to do everything and to make decisions and to create things. It's just part of Krishna's inconceivable potencies, you know, the whole thing of Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam Purnat Purnat Udachate. That everything that comes from the complete Krishna, Krishna is full and complete, and everything that comes from him is fully complete in itself. It's perfectly complete. So the energies of Krishna, the purpose of the energies of Krishna is to create, to fulfill all his purposes, all his desires, and to increase the pleasure of Krishna. They're there to serve and to provide the pleasure for Krishna. So by those potencies, There's one of those potencies that is called Yoga Maya. We've been hearing about the potency of Yoga Maya throughout the 10th canto because it's very important to understand the pastimes that Krishna himself experienced as, along with his devotees in Vrindavan. They all control and rule by these Yoga Maya potencies of the Lord. So the Yoga Maya potencies enhances Krishna's pastimes, and to the point that by Yoga Maya's arrangement, Krishna sometimes forgets himself. And it happens throughout his pastimes in Vrindavan. Sometimes he forgets. Like in this case, he just got confused and he had to stop and figure it out. You know, how he's going to deal with this situation. And sometimes it happens that in the madness of ecstasy of Lord for Srimati Radharani, he tries to milk a bull instead of a cow. You know, what is this? So, so Krishna is not pretending. This is not, it's not that he's pretending to, you know, he's acting like this. You know, he's like an actor and he knows the script and he knows the end and the end. No. He's not pretending, he's actually experiencing. He's experiencing bewilderment, he's experiencing sometimes all these different emotions that are there. And they're meant to increase, these are the arrangements of Yoga Maya, to increase Krishna's pleasure. It's all meant for Krishna's pleasure. So there is suspense in Krishna's pastimes. There is some unknown, and although it's perfectly controlled by Krishna through his energies, also Krishna experienced simultaneously this suspense and this this unknown. So he is all-knowing, sarvagya, but at the same time he experienced these things. So the contradictions are reconciled, and that's how can we understand the personality of Godhead. So in this case, Krishna enters the mouth of Agasura, and we hear more of the pastime as we go. I didn't prepare much, to tell you the truth. I know it's a short class, but maybe if there is any questions, yeah.
Thank you, Suha. Hearing you, my realization is that he doesn't have a contradiction here. He can feel whatever he wants. He's the most and the topmost, he's the Supreme Personality. He can feel awe and despair. Even he is in control. He can do whatever he wants. I don't know, it's my own realization. He's God. He can be in anguish, seeing his friends coming into the so-called cave, you know, without knowing this is a python. You know, as you said, he knows exactly the danger, the imminent danger these kids are, but he can feel, he's God. I don't know if I'm wrong. So, God, yeah. So probably the contradiction is not existent. He can be whatever he wants.
Yeah, but the beautiful thing is that then it's a very important point to understand, because people get confused. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when Krishna performed these human-like pastimes and he actually experienced this type of thing, then people think, oh, this is just, you know, sort of almost like a fantastic narration of just a regular human person. So, what is it that mudhas don't understand Krishna's position because they think he's abhajananti man mudha tanusing, what is it, manusing tanun ashrita, that people think, foolish people think that Krishna is just like a human, because they see we all humans, we don't know. We have to experience life like this. There's past, present, and future. We don't know these things. So there is Krishna experiencing all these things, all these emotions, bewilderment, confusion, happiness, sometimes distress, sometimes Krishna cries, sometimes Krishna laughs, sometimes Krishna have a headache, you know, that type of thing. So if we don't have the proper understandings and guidance,
exactly,
and the proper Siddhanta, the proper teachings to understand this inconceivable enigma of how this can be possible, how someone who is all-knowing, supposedly, can be confused. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense from the perspective of our experience in the material world. The same thing of people trying to understand what the classical thing that we hear, what bad things happen to good people. You know, the whole thing of how can God be all good, mm-hmm, and all powerful when there is existence of evil in the world. So all these things, all these contradictions are very difficult to understand for, yeah, someone who is not guided by transcendental knowledge. So that's the important lesson. Without that, yeah, there's no entrance into Krishna's pastimes. There's no entrance into the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can't actually relish it. You don't understand it. It's just a sentimental thing that is even a bit tacky, you know. It's a Bollywood movie.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's a you have no entrance. But when we are guided by transcendental knowledge, then all this amazing past and this opens, we have entrance just to appreciate and to become attracted and purified by it. And that's the beauty of it. That's important. And that's how the gratitude that we have to our Vaishnava Acharyas that are, you know, Srila Prabhupada is giving us this opportunity. Otherwise, how in the world are you going to understand this? Mm-hmm. It's impossible. There's no question. You can't understand this. It doesn't make sense. So the people, the mudas, then they think, well, either it's a narrations, it's exaggerated narrations of human things, or it's mythology, or it's, you know, things like that. You know, they try to explain it because, you know, this, it doesn't make sense that this exists. It's okay, it could be possible. Jai Baladas came late. You always prepare something, so you are, and you come already prepared, even if you don't hear the class.
What happened to you?
Keep it tight, though.
Even though it's half hour left. The one thing that came to mind is, I'm glad I made class, first of all.
Yes,
seemed like you're ending a little bit early, so.
I didn't prepare very much. It was my fault.
The one thing that highlights to me, and this regarding your answer to Keshava Kishore, and in this last verse, you know, among the verses today, verse 28, one thing I appreciate is that it says Krishna is unlimitedly potent, yet he decided to wait for an intelligent means by which he could simultaneously save the boys and kill the demon. Now Krishna, he's God. He doesn't have to think before he speaks or think before he does. Because whatever he does, he doesn't have to worry about a reaction, a karmic reaction, or some type of reaction, which I really appreciate. But he set an example for us many times, playing a part of a ordinary human being. At the same time, there's many passages where he reveals that I could do whatever the heck I want. From the flip side of the coin, we have no potency, and we don't think before we speak. And we're entangled in reactions constantly, repeated birth after birth. Why? Because we're stupid. And that's really one point I appreciate about this. And maybe if I had to ask a question or maybe expand on this point, is that
Kesha, bro, bring it down, just number one, a little bit down.
Just a little down?
Yeah, it's loud. Yes, Jai Baladev, sorry.
The one thing I will, if I had to ask a question or expand on this point, since I don't have much time to think about this point, is that, there's a quote by, I forgot who it's by, but it says, wise men speak because they have something to say, fools because they have to say something. And there's another quote that says, 90% of all human wisdom is the ability to mind your own business. And the reason I appreciate these quotes is that the tendency is that Krishna, he has unlimited potencies, like I said. For us, we don't have any potency yet. What are some steps we can move forward to develop this understanding that we're not God and we can't say anything to anyone or do anything to anyone and not expect a reaction? And that's probably why we keep making the same mistakes over again, because the tendencies that we see in the material world, why do people show respect to police officers, to their teachers, to any authority figure, a guru, Maharaj? It's because from a external point of view, they obviously have more power than us. On the flip side of the coin, why do people think they can say anything to anyone if they're poor, if they're uneducated, or if they're defenseless? Because we think we have more power than them. But we see throughout the scriptures that's not the case. Krishna can only say anything to anyone, whoever they want, because he can never be entangled in the reactions of karma. One analogy I appreciate is that Jayapataka Maharaj always mentioned this point in Vaishnava K. In verse 3, commenting on Bhaktisiddhanta's verse, he says, just as a spider is never entangled by his web, so Krishna can never be entangled in the web of material existence, the web of time, space, matter, karma, lust, anger, and greed. On the other hand, we're completely entangled in old age, disease, death, karma, so many things, yet we never think about what we speak. So what are some steps we can move forward to develop this humility that, okay, yes, why am I respecting this rich donor? Why am I respecting this police officer? Because they have more power than me. And on the flip side of the coin, I think I could say whatever I want to anyone, because why? Like Hiranyakashipu, I think I have more power than Prahlad. So what are some steps we can move forward to develop this humility before Krishna really embarrassed the hell out of us? And we see that this is the mentality throughout the history of mankind. There's a phrase, history repeats itself. And so same thing, politicians think they could do whatever they want, then they're put in jail. Religious leaders think they could do whatever they want, then they're removed from power. Same story. So what are some steps we could move forward to not repeat the same arrogant, you know, mistakes?
I think you turned, actually I told you number one, yeah, and it was this one, the one that, no. So this one goes up, number two is the one that comes down. Hari Hari, Krishna Krishna Krishna, give up, up, number one, up, 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 number one, okay, good. My spiritual master one time explaining how we relate to each other, and the natural, there's a natural structure that is there. Because we always gonna have someone who is superior to us. We always gonna have someone that is equal to us. We always gonna have someone that is junior to us. So these relationships are always there in each person. So how we relate to each one of these different classes of people, or these different types of relationships, have to be ruled by the mood of service. So we have to cultivate that. So when we relate to an inferior, or someone who is junior to us, or someone who is who have less experience, in your example is less power, but we can generalize it more, just someone who is junior to us. We relate, we to those persons we extend ourselves, we give protection, we give instructions, we give that type of thing. And but when you do it, it's not in the mood that I'm superior to you, you know. But I'm doing it in the mood of a service. Actually, how I can benefit this person, what I can do for this person to extend, to see the betterness and to provide, or to, you know, that type of thing. Among peers, equals, same thing. We deal with each other with the mood of service. And with superiors, same thing. We submit ourselves, we take instructions, we take guidance and that type of thing. So the mood of service goes along with a culture of respect, which is something that, you know, for us in this modern world is the contrary. We're growing more and more in a culture of disrespect, you know, in a culture that doesn't value that too much, because we're so trained in a culture of being self-centered that disrespect is just a natural way. It's almost like a tool for survival, almost, you know. You have to be guarded, and you know, and so someone disrespects you, you react also with the same equal type of disrespect. So it's a culture of disrespect. And for us as devotees, we have to embrace a culture of respect. And even more difficult than that is embrace the culture of not expecting respect towards ourselves. And all gets wrapped up in this mood of service. We do it as a service. We do all these things because we're serving Guru and Krishna and the rest of, you know, people, the devotees and people in general. So it's a cultivation for us. We're just learning a culture of respect and embracing acting in the mood of service. And we're learning. And Krishna will correct us, the devotees will correct us by ordeal. You know, we go through this, a purification process. And as gradually we're becoming more and more comfortable in this culture, you know, we're breaking through. And that's what sadhana bhakti does. It purifies us. It brings us into that culture. That's the culture of devotional service, bhakti yoga. Right.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for your point. Maybe you could... Hello, can you...
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Thank you for your comment, especially regarding, maybe you could spend on maybe something that causes obstacles in devotees' relationships. Where we have a preconceived notion of seniors, juniors, and equals. One thing that came to mind is that there's so many pastimes. For example, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, either the last chapter or the second to last chapter, in that chapter it describes that when Parikshit Maharaj and all the sages were looking for a speaker of Bhagavatam, they picked Shukadeva Goswami. He was a 16-year-old boy, and they were all older than him. And Prabhupada, in that one of the reports, he mentions that one is not a senior just by one's position or one's age. One is senior by one's wisdom, one's love, and one's humility. And Buddha, he said a nice quote. He says, "A man is not called an elder merely because his head is gray. His age may be ripe, but he's called old in vain. He in whom there's truth, virtue, love, restraint, he was free from impurity and is wise. He is called an elder." And we see that Prahlad wasn't an elder, and Hiranyakashipu was older. And that may be one obstacle between relationships, just like Lord Chaitanya. One last point. Lord Chaitanya, he told Ramananda Roy, "My dear Ramananda Roy, I'm senior by my position. I'm a sannyasin and brahmana, and you're junior. You're a sudra, and you're a householder." But he told Ramananda Roy, "Kiba vipra kiba niyasi sudra kene no ye krishna tapa veta se guru hoy." Why are you refusing to instruct me? Lord Chaitanya told Ramananda Roy, "You instruct me." You know, because senior doesn't have to do with one's external position. It has to do with one's humility and one's character. So please instruct me. And the reason I appreciate about this pastime from different points of view is that Lord Chaitanya, a senior, says, "My dear junior, instruct me," from an external point of view. And that's one lesson we could take. And that's what Prabhupada mentions also in chapter 17, verse 15. One should never instruct anybody unless that person has accepted you as their teacher, whether you're referring to junior or senior. So my question is, when we come into an environment and we're trying to advance in Christian consciousness, especially for devotees, this obstacle has happened to many devotees who lived in the temple. Naturally, when you come into a temple environment, just because I come into a temple environment and I'm trying to invest in Krishna consciousness, that doesn't mean I disregard the leaders, but that doesn't mean I accept them as my shichya guru or you know, to instruct me. It's just that I'm trying to weigh my options. And the tendency is that, you know, sometimes, especially many people who've moved out, they feel like, "Oh, I'm being bombarded because I'm trying to advance the Krishna consciousness." That doesn't mean I accept somebody as my senior shichya guru. And so what are some obstacles for people who want to make advancement, especially who want to live in temple environments? Just because I want to make an environment doesn't mean, yes, you're senior to me and I respect you, but that doesn't mean I accept you as my shichya guru because I don't have that faith. And that doesn't mean you disrespect somebody. So what is a person to do who faces a dilemma? Many devotees told me this. They face this dilemma. And so what do you say to somebody who's faced this dilemma?
Yeah, it's almost, well, I would say, just emphasizing that same point that I made back, you know, it's a both way thing. When there is if we have the mood of service, both from seniors and juniors, especially from the seniors, that we cultivate that mood of service towards the devotee, that is, you know, that there's a sincere, genuine caring. So when that is there, at the end, that always goes through, you know. When we cultivate appreciation and care in a mood of service towards others, then a relationship can develop. And when the ratio can develop, you know, is the natural connection comes, you know. So you may see someone that it may not be your shiksha guru, but it's someone that you see that, okay, this person has a lot of experiences, you know, and then you know, there is that connection, you know. And same, the experiences that you have, you share with others. So the important thing that we have, and is part of ourselves growing individually and as a community, is to create that atmosphere. And it's a responsibility that we all share to create that culture. You know, as we understand better Prabhupada's teachings, then, you know, we can create that culture in the temple. And it's both ways. It's, you know, it's everybody's responsibility, from senior to juniors. There's a more responsibility on the seniors, yes, because we have to, you know, show the example of, you know, show that type of service, caring, appreciation, and that creates trust. And it's, you know, and then when there is that love and trust type of thing, then the relationship is there, and then, you know, one can have this type of exchanges. But it's not something that is forced or natural. We still have some work to do as a community on these things, but we all part of it. So there's nonsense for us to point fingers. Oh, this person is not being an example of what they're supposed to be. It doesn't make sense, you know. I mean, if I'm able to understand that how things should be, then I should be an example myself. That's what Prahlad showed. Duck the microphone, some people can hear.
Profound point, because Hiranyakashipu should set the example. He was supposed to be the leader on the outside, but Prahlad was a leader on the inside. So his words had more authority for the children in the Gurukula school than Hiranyakashipu and all his other seniors. Because Prahlad, he didn't waste his time finding fault with Hiranyakashipu. He wasn't speaking Hiranyakashipu katha, he was speaking Krishna katha, and he set the example. So that's a very profound point.
And his example was beautiful because he never disrespected Hiranyakashipu. He always dealt with Hiranyakashipu with the most respect. He disagreed with great respect, you know? Correct. But it was his mood. It was because it was not disrespectful. It was respectfully disagreeing, you know, like that. And therefore, you know, Prahlad's example is superlative. So that's what we aspire, obviously. You know, for us, you know, our ego gets touched. You know, we're learning from Krishna. You step back and trying to figure it out how to respond to these things better, you know. But the principle is that we have to cultivate the mood of service and a culture of respect. It's our responsibility as devotees. And, you know, every individual has that responsibility, personal responsibility, and, you know, I'm not going to be rationalizing that why I'm not feeling inspired because of someone else, you know, behavior or thing, or my perception of someone's behavior. It's all this mess when we get into this, you know, judgment and false ego thing. At the end, sometimes I may be thinking, oh, this person is thinking like this, and then later, much later, you discover, so you were thinking like that, and the person, no, I was definitely not thinking like that, I was thinking like this, you know. So we make all this, we have to break through our biases. We all have it. We all have these preconceptions. That's one of the things that you say. We have these preconceptions of seniors, equals, and this. We have all these preconceptions, all these biases. And we have to break through. And we have to understand that it's a problem that as conditioned souls, we bring into this game. We bring into, it comes with us. So it's something that we have to deal with. And it's our personal responsibility. It's not, and with that, in the mood of service, I can, and with respect, always, with a culture of respect. And we try. We keep trying our best, you know, to become better at that. I'm going to stop here. Grantara Shiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.